A small Alabama airport reopens 4 years after it closed. Are legacy airlines in the U.S. doomed? And can computers help keep tugs and baggage carts from delaying your flight? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 9th, 2008. It's said that once an airport closes, it's gone forever. That makes Lynette Municipal Airport in Alabama an exception worth celebrating. At the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's annual fly-in Saturday in Frederick, Maryland, that's exactly what they did. AOPA attendees and volunteers cheered an unprecedented effort which helped bring about the May 21st reopening of the airport 4 years after it closed. AOPA Airport Support Network volunteer Mike Ballard noted that it took a combination of perseverance, cooperation, and a new automotive manufacturing plant 5 miles from the field, Lynette Mayor Oscar Crowley's campaign pledge to reopen the airport, and the support of several other politicians in the area to get Lynette reopened. During the reopening ceremonies, Mayor Arnold Leake of nearby Valley, Alabama, recognized the cooperation which not only brought the airport back from the dead, but has even led to talk of a second runway to augment 826. We all know the legacy airlines are being hammered by high fuel prices, and one industry analyst says the legacy carriers will have to make radical changes or go the way of the dodo. Rafael Behar is CEO of Air Savings, a company that develops business strategies for low-cost airlines. So admittedly, there is an agenda here. But Behar observes the legacy carriers are making an already bad customer experience worse by cutting services and adding additional fees at the same time. He says that's built on a faulty premise, that premise being the supremacy of the legacy carrier business model. Some are blaming low-cost airlines for the industry's predicament. Behar cites the words of Gerard Arpey, CEO of American Airlines parent company AMR. Quote, "The industry has been hurt by some airlines growing faster than conditions warranted. That impact has worsened in light of recent economic trends and soaring fuel prices," unquote. Well, Behar responds that Arpey chose to ignore the reason for the surging popularity of low-cost carriers like Southwest or Europe's Ryanair, and that is people want to fly and they want to do it cheaply and they want to arrive on time. He says most U.S. legacy carriers fail when held up against those simple expectations. His advice? Quote, "The market here is seeking a different product than what's offered by the legacies. Offer the basics, safety, and a seat at low cost, and let the customers pay for everything else," unquote. Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that what Skybus did? Didn't the analysts say that was a really bad model? What a difference a year makes. Cambridge University is launching a new project which seeks to cut airport delays. University officials tell ANN they'll test the latest automated identification technology, including tiny RFID electronic tags that are already used to track everything from lost pets to railroad cars, to allow computers to help manage the movement of aircraft and surface vehicles at airports worldwide. Earlier research carried out by the university's Institute for Manufacturing suggests the technology could cut delays in aircraft turnaround times by 25%. At the UK's 10 biggest airports alone, that would generate annual airline savings of £160 million. That's $320 million US. And it would reduce pressure on overstretched airport facilities. The Experimental Aircraft Association stages a well-orchestrated rollout of news items each spring to build interest in Air Venture Oshkosh. This year, one bit of news is taking on a life of its own. Bloggers are putting together Virgin Galactic's announced progress report and rollout of the White Knight 2 mothership on July 28th at Mojave Spaceport in California, with the fact that Air Venture starts that same day. Could there be plans for a press report in California, followed by a cross-country flight and grand entrance at Oshkosh? Well, EAA President and Air Venture Chairman Tom Poberesny will say only, quote, "I can absolutely confirm that the Virgin Galactic event, which takes place during the opening day of Air Venture, will have ties back to Oshkosh, both real-time and throughout the week," unquote. Poberesny did confirm the Virgin Galactic team, including Sir Richard Branson, Virgin Galactic President Will Whitehorn, and Scaled Composites founder Bert Rutan, will arrive at Air Venture on the 29th. EAA coyly notes it, quote, "will announce more details regarding the Virgin Galactic story at Air Venture as they are finalized," unquote. Up next on ANN, the FAA tells an airport play fair or lose millions. NASA says Phoenix is having trouble getting Martian dirt into its test oven. and a Delta exec meets with pilots from Northwest. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies and high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 9th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Allegiant Air notified Snohomish County in May it wanted to begin twice-weekly flights from Snohomish County Airport Payne Field in the Seattle suburb of Everett to Las Vegas. Allegiant currently flies from Bellingham, that's 60 miles farther north in Washington, to vacation destinations in California and Arizona, and to Las Vegas from Pasco. Last Tuesday, the Snohomish County Council adopted a resolution against commercial flights from Payne Field, citing opposition in surrounding communities. Now, the Seattle Times reports the FAA has warned county officials, in a letter they received on Thursday, to negotiate with Allegiant in good faith or risk losing federal grants for airport improvements. Those grants have reportedly totaled $57 million since 1945. Boeing, which has production and delivery centers based at Payne Field, projects another $50 million in repairs to taxiways and runways will be needed in the next 5 years. County Councilman Brian Sullivan says the county will call on its congressmen, Rick Larson and Jay Inslee, and Senator Maria Cantwell to lobby the FAA on the county's behalf. Allegiant has said the airport's existing terminal will not be sufficient for serving its MD-80s. Sullivan said Thursday that if the county is forced to negotiate with the airline, it will require it to build a world-class terminal, provide a plan to mitigate traffic and noise, and live with restrictions on time of day for departures and arrivals. Scientists face a perplexing problem with NASA's Phoenix Mars lander. The robot's claim to fame is its unique ability to scoop up soil, dump it through a screen into a test chamber, heat the sample, then analyze the vapors to look for the ingredients required for life. The problem is, even when the robotic scoop dumps the soil right on top of the chamber, no particles are detected making it through the screen, even when they're shaken by a vibration mechanism. A possible explanation is the dirt may be too dense or compacted to be vibrated loose and passed through the screen. The screen is there to prevent anything but small particles from reaching the oven. Also, the vibrator could be sending incorrect readings that it's working when it's really not. If the oven turns out to be unusable, there are 7 other ovens available for the mission's primary experiments. While troubleshooting continues, Phoenix will be limited to taking close-up photos of the dirt on Mars. One of the potential problems with Delta Airlines' proposed takeover of Northwest is combining the pilot workforces. After the union groups for both airlines couldn't settle their differences, Delta negotiated a new contract for its existing pilots. Hoping to ease concerns among the pilots at Northwest, on Thursday, Delta CEO Ed Bastian accepted an invitation from those Northwest pilots to speak at their Master Executive Council meeting. The Associated Press reports Bastian made a 2-hour-plus presentation. Quote, "It gave us a chance to talk about our respective views toward the future and how best to make certain that the merger is going to be a success," unquote. Northwest pilots say they want an immediate pay raise once the merger goes through to bring them in line with their counterparts at Delta. The pilots say Delta favors a more gradual approach. Dave Stevens, a chairman of the Northwest branch of the union, says he stressed to Bastian that, quote, "To have a successful merger, all pilots and all employees have to be treated the same," unquote. Bastian wouldn't comment on whether he was asked about those raises. Quote, "It wasn't a negotiating session. They expressed their views, and I heard them, and I understand them," unquote. We're sad to tell you that Saturday reports of a Cessna 206 down near Cedar Key in northwest Florida have been confirmed. The pilot and two passengers died in the crash as the aircraft was on approach to the Cedar Key Airport. The St. Petersburg Times spoke with witnesses who reported seeing an orange fiery glow on the water after losing sight of aircraft position lights. Searchers recovered the body of 43-year-old passenger and aircraft owner John Borchard Saturday afternoon. His body and the wreckage of the Cessna were found a mile from the airport in the Gulf of Mexico. Two others, including the pilot, have not been found and their names have not been released. The plane took off about 12:30 Saturday morning. The FAA declared it officially overdue about 2 a.m. and called the Coast Guard. An HH-60 Jayhawk rescue helicopter from Coast Guard Air Station in Clearwater launched at 3:30, along with a 27-foot rescue boat from Coast Guard Station Yankeetown in Levy County. Borchard's body was eventually found by a fisherman about a mile from the west end of the airport, 16 hours after the plane disappeared into the water. The Cedar Key Airport is surrounded by water, and both runways end at the water's edge. Pilots consider landing there a challenge, especially at night, because approaches are over water in a sparsely populated area, and they leave little visual horizon reference. Reflections of stars in the water have led to disorientation. The National Transportation Safety Board has recorded 7 accidents, claiming a total of 9 lives near the airport since 1995. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission and the Citrus County Sheriff's Office are continuing the search for the missing bodies. Still ahead, a New York man makes an apparent suicide jump from 10,000 feet. The Air Force says a forgotten pitot heater caused a billion-dollar plane crash. And Paul Allen's airplane collection goes on display in Everett, Washington. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 9, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Authorities are still investigating why an observer aboard an aircraft used as a skydiving platform jumped from the plane without a parachute from 10,000 feet Saturday. 29-year-old Sloan Carfello of Schenectady, New York, convinced the Duanesburg Skydiving Club to let him ride along on a jump flight to take aerial photos as part of a student project. A videographer on board the Cessna 182 says after the divers jumped, Carafello followed, holding only a camera. The Albany Times-Union reports his body struck a house about 2 p.m. Nobody on the ground was hurt. Duanesburg Skydiving Club owner and pilot Bob Rollins says the videographer filmed Carafello's fall, and Carafello even took pictures of himself while free-falling. Police have a copy of the video to aid in their investigation. A witness said about Carafello before the flight, quote, I got an air, a weird vibe, but I didn't think twice about it, unquote. Rollins said Carafello listed General Schwarzenegger as his emergency contact when he filled out his paperwork. The U.S. Air Force now says a B-2 Spirit bomber crashed on takeoff from Anderson Air Force Base in Guam February 23rd because moisture in a transducer unit distorted data introduced into the air data system. That's the conclusion reached in an Air Combat Command Accident Investigation Report released on Thursday. The Air Force says the moisture caused the flight control computers to calculate an inaccurate airspeed and a negative angle of attack on takeoff, resulting in, quote, an uncommanded 30-degree nose-high pitch-up on takeoff, causing the aircraft to stall and its subsequent crash, unquote. Another substantially contributing factor cited was ineffective communication of critical information regarding a suggested technique of turning on pitot heat in order to remove moisture from the PTUs prior to performing an air data calibration. The pilot received minor injuries, and the co-pilot received a spinal compression fracture during ejection. He was treated at Tripler Army Medical Center in Hawaii and released. The aircraft was assigned to the 509th Bomb Wing at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. The cost of the lost aircraft is about $1.4 billion. The Flying Heritage Collection announced on Friday its exhibition facility is now open to the public at Payne Field in Everett, Washington. The collection includes rare World War II-era fighter planes from five major countries of the war, and it's one of the nation's largest collections of vintage planes in flyable condition. Microsoft co-founder and philanthropist Paul Allen, who is owner of the Flying Heritage Collection, said, quote, "Each plane represents a technological advancement that had an impact on flight right up to today. Our goal is to restore these planes, preserve them to authentic flying condition, and share them with the public for generations to come," unquote. The new facility is in a restored working hangar close to the Payne Field flight line. It's open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and Tuesday through Sunday the rest of the year. It's closed on Thanksgiving and Christmas. To help keep each plane operational and exercised, fly days are scheduled every other Saturday, June 14th through October 11th this year, providing the public a free opportunity to see historic aircraft return to the sky. And finally, the airlines are getting so creative, some would say desperate, at unbundling services and adding extra fees, that it came as little surprise last week when industry analysts predicted some airlines might soon require passengers to weigh in before boarding, with fares based partly on weight. Then, on Friday, the Associated Press reports readers of the Philadelphia Inquirer and Philadelphia Daily News opened their papers to see ads for a new airline called Derry Air, promoting fares by the pound. In the current industry climate, introductory specials including Philly to Los Angeles for $2.25 a pound or Philly to Chicago for $1.40 a pound weren't that big a stretch. Derry Air's slogan, "Pack less, weigh less, pay less." If you do the math, these would not be cheap fares for most of us. But then, Derry Air is, after all, a green luxury airline. On the website, flyderry-air.com, we read, quote, "We have no problem with environmentalists who perform hair shirt activities like composting and not flushing, but we maintain that upscale luxury consumers can do their part as well. We plan on having over 128,000 sycamores in Derry Forest by 2010. The practice, known as carbon offsetting, has been adopted by a diverse array of credible entities, such as famous Hollywood actors and actresses," unquote. Onboard amenities are said to include, quote, "Gorgeous air hosts and hostesses, Golden Age Rat Pack films, top shelf vodka martinis, on-demand video blackjack, spacious private washrooms outfitted with porcelain fixtures and gilded faucets, gourmet snacks, onboard masseuses, loofah scrubs, and of course, digital cable," unquote. Well, if cable TV wasn't a strong enough clue, this is all a spoof. It's an advertising test by the owners of the newspapers. In the disclaimer at the bottom of the airline's webpage, it says, quote, "In other words, smile, we're pulling your leg." In short, the whole thing looks a lot like an Aero News April 1st story, complete with a nice Photoshop picture of an airliner with the company's logo, a feather, visible on the tail. But you just know, somewhere in the corporate offices of some legacy carrier, some bean counter was assigned the weekend task of crunching the numbers to answer the question, hey, could we actually do that? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Bob Miller about thunderstorms and about how much turbulence you can miss just by climbing to 3,000 or 4,000 feet. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.